We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Good to be with you on a Wednesday night. We got a lot to do tonight. We'll jump around. We got some Blues talk a little later on, some college football. We got a lot of baseball to start with, as you would imagine, being the home of the Cardinals and all that. And we're going to get to the lockout that's going to be starting here in about what now? A little bit less than 5 hours, 4.5 hours. The lockout will kick in here for Major League Baseball. But there's some stuff happening all the way up to this deadline. In fact, we just got breaking news within the last 11, 12 minutes or so. And the source of the news, pretty reliable, Marcus Stroman has announced on Twitter that he's going to sign with the Cubs. So, yeah, that's interesting. In fact, it's funny because it goes back to last night's conversation about nobody in the division getting any better. Well, the Cubs have just gotten a little bit better, and give them credit. They're not ready to be good. I mean, you know, they were a bad team last year. They still don't have a lineup of any note. They don't have much around Stroman, and they don't have a bullpen of note. Not that they don't have anybody that's good, but they don't have anything of note. They were also not a good defensive team last year. It'll be interesting to see how they line up defensively this year and how that works behind a guy like Marcus Stroman that gets a lot of ground balls. But either way, I don't think they have to be good this year for this to be a good signing. I mean, Stroman is a veteran, but he's only 30. It's not like you're talking about a guy that's 35, 36. This is kind of reminding me a little bit timing-wise. They don't have the big boatload of prospects ready to break into the big leagues like they did when they signed John Lester. You know, when they signed John Lester, it was basically a year earlier than people thought they would be ready to be good. But they had Bryant and Baez and all those guys. You know, those guys were all coming along, and everybody kind of knew that the Cubs were coming, getting close to being a thing. So they went out and they got John Lester a little earlier than people thought they would make a move because he was there. He was available, and they thought he would be a good pitcher to kind of build the rotation around, if you will. And looks like they're doing that now with Marcus Stroman. Again, they're not making enough moves to really be a big factor for 2022, but they're giving themselves a young starter that a lot of teams want, and they're taking advantage of an opportunity. So that's something that's changed since last night. You've actually got a National League Central Division team making themselves better this offseason with a significant move. So we've got that news right out of the gate. I got a text from a friend. It's like, oh, I wanted the Cardinals to sign Stroman. I'm like, you do know that they have five starters, right? That, like, you don't sign Marcus Stroman as an extra guy. And none of the other guys qualify as extra guys, right? Dakota Hudson's not an extra guy. Miles Michaelis, Steven Matz, Adam Wainwright, Jack Flaherty, those guys aren't extra guys. Those are starters. They've proven that they can start successfully in the major leagues. They are going to be the rotation. Once they signed Steven Matz, they were not in on, or not likely or logical even, for someone like Marcus Stroman. And I understand it, man. I think a lot of people, there's a lot to like about Stroman. And Stroman in a Cardinals uniform would look really good given the great defense around him and his ability to get ground balls. But once they signed Steven Matz, I think we should have all understood that Marcus Stroman was not going to be a Cardinal. So I can get if you're like, oh, man, you let him go to the Cubs. That's frustrating. Yeah, okay, I get that. But once you filled out the rotation last week with the signing of Steven Matz, you weren't going to spend. And there's no money being reported yet. I haven't seen it reported yet. So we'll see, you know, what that looks like. It's, if I had to take an educated guess, I'd say it's probably something in the 5 years and $100 to $120 million range. If I had to put a guess at it, I'm looking around. He broke the story, by the way, on Twitter. It was Marcus Stroman that did it. So, you know, I haven't seen anybody like John Heyman or Ken Rosenthal or Jeff Passan or anyone that's put out the number of years or the dollars just yet. So we'll wait and see on that. But given his age, you know, given his performance here this past season and all of that, he's probably at least a $20 million a year pitcher. And we'll give you that info. We'll pass that along a little bit later on whenever it comes across my Twitter machine. But we have that to talk about, certainly, and we're going to talk a bit about the Cardinals, too, because now that the lockout is here, and it's not, again, it's not here yet, but, you know, by the time we get to 10:59 Central Time, the lockout will be here. We have some things to talk about regarding that. And then later this hour, I want to get into some lockout-related Cardinals conversations, because once we get to the lockout, there's no talking about trades because there won't be any completed. Although teams can still talk. That's the thing that you forget about even during a lockout. There's nothing about a lockout that says teams can't talk to each other about trades. They could even trade minor league players. I mean, that, you know, they can't trade anybody on a 40-man roster, but they could do whatever they want with minor leaguers. They can still do business. They just can't sign free agents or complete trades that involve people that are on 40-man rosters. So, you know, the presidents of baseball operation, the GMs that are out there, they ain't going to be sitting around doing nothing for the next 2 months. You know, they'll be talking. They just can't sign players and they can't trade major league players on the 40-man roster. But because we don't have free agency to talk about and all of that, later on in the hour, I want to talk about the Cardinals' internal options because nobody likes talking about those because everybody wants a proven piece. And I'm with you on that, too. I prefer the proven pieces as well. But there are some interesting things. And I joked about this on Twitter earlier today, you know, that there were people that were angry that the Cardinals non-tendered Jose Rondon. And, look, I understand it, right? Rondon had a couple of nice, really big at-bats this year. He was a good, you know, end-of-the-bench kind of player because he's versatile and he's got a little pop. And, you know, we saw all of that. But it's just funny to me that, you know, a player that won, and by the way, a guy that had 90 plate appearances the whole year was going to get that kind of reaction on Twitter was kind of funny to me. But I remember a year ago when the Cardinals signed him to a minor league deal. I remember a lot of people that were really kind of snarky and nasty about it on Twitter, like, oh, more low-hanging fruit. This is all the Cardinals are going to do. And then, of course, after that, Arenado was acquired, and those people had to stop saying those things. But it's just funny how it went from a year ago, oh, low-hanging fruit, to now this year. Can't believe they're not doing – why would they let him go? He had those two big home runs. And look, again, Rondon did a nice job when he was called upon. He had some really big pinch hits. He had a couple of pinch hit home runs, three home runs, as a matter of fact. But we're talking about a guy that had 80 at-bats in 6 months. And there's nothing to be upset about there. In fact, later, when I talk about the internal options, which is what put me on this tangent, we'll explain a little bit why they might feel comfortable moving on from Rondon and making room for the next wave of younger players. We'll get to that later this hour. What I want to get into in the next couple of segments is some things related to the lockout. And I want to give you guys some advice about how to approach the reporting related to the lockout. Because remember today there was a, well, they only met for 7 minutes. And this, boy, these two sides must be, they must really hate each other. Look out. It's going to be a stormy run. Listen, guys. The lockout was never going to be avoided. This was always going to happen. And I'll give you my advice on how to handle this coming up next on KMOX. All right, back in on Sports Open Line here on KMOX. I mentioned last segment, we don't have the numbers yet, but obviously the news this evening is breaking right as we started the show. That Marcus Stroman is signing with the Cubs. Again, at this point, we don't have years or dollars, but I'm going to bet that it's a pretty good contract. I can't imagine that Stroman chose an obviously rebuilding team that's not going to be good in 2022 for a bargain contract. I'm sure it's going to be a good number. And by the way, not a bad move for the Cubs. There's nothing wrong with being respectable. Even if you're trying to retool, I would prefer more teams try to be at least respectable when they're retooling, when they're fixing up their roster. And it's good that, you know, they're looking at a guy that is one of the better starting pitchers out there. I mean, again, not good for, you know, the Cardinals because you got to face him, or not good for the Brewers or Reds or whatever because they're in your division. But I think just a good sign overall that you're not looking at a team in Chicago, you know, the third largest media market in the country, acting like they can't spend any money. I mean, you know, for the sport, that's a better thing. You know, it's and I think that, you know, we'll see what the numbers are. But it's an interesting move right before the lockout is expected to be put into place coming up later on tonight. Now, in addition to all that, I just wanted to give you guys, I mentioned this in the last segment, I wanted to pass along some advice. And by the way, I passed this advice along via email to a group of friends of mine that have been openly stressing out about the lockout and are they going to kill the sport? And, you know, why are baseball owners and players, sorry, why are they so stupid? Why, you know, why would they do this? Why would they take the chance at killing the sport? And my answer to that is they're not going to do that. They're not. I mean, you'd have to, you have to understand, they disagree with each other, the two sides. They don't see things the same way. There's tension. There's a lack of trust. You know, all of that exists. That's all real. But neither the owners nor the players are suicidal when it comes to the business. They're not looking to ruin the business. They're not looking to lose more money. And I think that, you know, when we get these kind of things, like today, the big news thing was, you know, there was a small group meeting, and it broke up after 7 minutes. Oh, my God! Fire and brimstone. It's the end of the world. It's not like that. Guys, don't worry about these types of non-story stories. And we'll get to that name story here in a few minutes, too. On a separate angle. Nobody could stop talking about Trevor Story. I wonder why. But these types of things, these types of, you know, minute by minute, you know, tick-tock stories about, well, this group of people met for 7 minutes, and this one was 12. And then the larger group one was 35 minutes. And they're going, guys, it's nonsense right now. These two sides were not going to agree to a deal today. They never were. It wasn't possible. Everyone that I've talked to in the game knew it. Every report that I've seen for the last year, hell, going back to 2020 when we were doing the whole COVID negotiation thing, we all knew this was going to happen. This lockout was never going to be avoided. And these next couple of months are going to be loaded with stories, you know, the owners are being ridiculous. The players are being ridiculous. I'm never going to watch baseball again. All right, just stop it. Don't get caught up in the day-to-day here, because they're going to be people mad. They're going to be the whole, why do these two sides insist on trying to kill the sport? And you'll notice, by the way, the people that say that stuff the most on TV and radio are people that are bigger fans of other sports, because they're going to want to make it sound like their sport's better. Our sport's not trying to destroy itself. Look at baseball. You get a bunch of the yappers like Skip Bayless doing stupid crap like that. Ignore it. I'll make this prediction that I've been making this prediction for a year and a half, so it's not like this is a new thing tonight. But they're not going to miss any regular season games from this. I would bet that they don't miss a single regular season game in 2022. I don't even think they're going to miss any spring training games. But I at least acknowledge that that's possible because, you know, you get down to the deadline when you're getting close to report time. It could get pushed back a couple days. So maybe, you know, maybe you get something that delays the start of spring training and therefore the start of spring training games. Fine. Maybe that happens. But they're not going to disrupt the regular season. This is not 1994, which, by the way, was a strike and not a lockout. Those are two completely different things. And the strike was in the middle of the season, not in the middle of the off season. These two things, 1994 and 2021, these two things are not alike. If this was a Sesame Street segment, you know, they'd be like, which one of these things not like the other one? Like, that would be that. These two things are not alike. So there's no point in comparing them. Tensions now are not as high as tensions were in 1994. For those of you that don't remember 1994 very well, either because you weren't born or because you were a very young person or because you didn't care, or let's be honest, because there just wasn't as much information out there in 1994 as there is in 2021. That was a big fight. That was Major League Baseball. Keep in mind, Major League Baseball did not have revenue sharing at that time. You know, you flash back to 1994, you didn't have every team with every game on television. You didn't have multi-billion dollar local television deals. You didn't have MLB Advanced Media, which is, again, generating billions of dollars a year. It was a different world. It was a different landscape. There were actually teams that were in trouble. Now, not as many as Major League Baseball suggested, but yeah, some of the smaller market teams were actually in some financial trouble. Nobody's in trouble now. Nobody. TV money's too big. Revenue sharing keeps everybody from sinking. The fact that the Pirates have not folded up and gone away proves that to you. If they lost as much money as the league likes to say that those teams lose money, they would have been out of business 10, 15 years ago. Nobody's going out of business. Nobody's being contracted. There's no notice that. Remember in 94, the whole talk was, well, you know, they need to contract the Twins. They need to, you know, the Twins and I forget who the other team was. Might have been the Brewers. No, it wouldn't have been them because that was Bud Selig's team. But there were like two teams, and they're always talking about contraction. What are we going to do? I remember this during 94, 95 when that was going on. People were in sports talk radio were talking about what's a contraction draft going to look like? Where do those players get to go? Who gets to pick them? Like, it was, and again, it was all nonsense. Nobody was being contracted, ever. It was a threat. It was the boogeyman to try to get a deal. And that fight back then was super ugly. And because it was as ugly as it was, nobody in baseball ever wants to repeat that. Now, the players, none of them are old enough to remember it, really. I mean, you know, maybe Waino vaguely remembers it, right? I mean, Wainwright's 40. So he was what? See, that was, he might have been 12 or 13 at the time, something like that. You know, like he wasn't probably paying attention to the financial details of Major League Baseball. Maybe he was, though. I don't know. He's a pretty smart guy. But look, this is what's going to happen over the course of the next 2 months. There's going to be a lot of, and by the way, there's going to be a lot of important, legitimate reporting that we should be paying attention to. And you should, you know, we should, if you're into that kind of thing, you know, you should read it. If you're into kind of the, you know, the future of the sport and where things are headed, you know, read the good stuff. But don't read all the stuff like these two sides are going to kill the game. Why do they not care about the fan and all of the, you know, the back and forth between the owners and players? Yeah, you know what? There are going to be some stupid things written, some stupid things said, some stupid things leaked. Just ignore all that. Pay attention to the reporting on the actual negotiations. You know, there's some really good stuff today from Evan Drellick of The Athletic, and he goes through a lot of these things that have been discussed on the financial side, and they're not as far apart as you make it sound. You know, I mean, like, for example, Major League Baseball, according to the Evan Drellick report, is willing to increase the league minimum salary. They've also offered to raise the luxury tax thresholds. You remember about a month ago when all that came out and the idea was they wanted to lower the luxury tax thresholds? Remember that? Because the luxury tax threshold right now is 210 million. Their initial idea was to drop it to 180 and then bring in a salary floor. And obviously that didn't fly. So you can see already there's been progress because now Major League Baseball, according to Evan Drellick's report, they're talking about raising that to 214 million and eventually getting to 220 million. That's what the players want. The players want the luxury tax threshold to go up so more teams at the top of the food chain will spend more. Because one of the only things that limits some of those teams are the penalties that come along with going above the threshold. So Major League Baseball offer that. So you're seeing movement already. These are the kind of things to pay attention to. Don't pay attention to all of the teeth gnashing and the wailing and the crying. Don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to the details. Because here's what I'm going to tell you. Again, part of my prediction here. Basically, guys, at the end, this is going to be a draw. The union is going to get some of the things they want. For example, they're going to get the universal DH. I think there's going to be some mechanisms put into place where the players can make money a little earlier in their careers, which is something that they want. There may be some assurances on, service time manipulation and all of that. And the reality is what they're going to give back is an expanded playoffs, right? Because that's a big money give to the owners. Expanded playoffs means a lot more money. A lot more money. Because they're not expanding by a little bit. You're taking, what you have now, five teams in each league. And if you're doing it the way the league is saying, you're going to do it for seven teams in each league. But you're taking the wild card round and turning that from one game in each league to six games in each league, so 12 games overall. So you're creating a lot of inventory for TV. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. So what's going to happen is there are going to be concessions like that. The players will concede to perhaps having some advertising on the uniforms or hats or whatever. That'll be the money that pays for the concessions that the owners make to the players. And in the end, it's basically going to be a draw. Play ball in the beginning of April and so on down the line. And now I wouldn't necessarily have this hope, and I'll wrap this up in a second. I wouldn't necessarily have this hope if not for what we just went through the last 2 years because of COVID. Billions of dollars were lost. And I don't believe that either the players or the owners want to lose more over a labor fight. I don't believe that for a second. I think they're going to get it done. And it already sounds like the reporting from Evan Drellick, who's been on top of this for years now, by the way, there's already movement from the two sides towards the center. They're not where they need to be. They're still fighting, but there's been movement in the right direction. All right, stick around. Outside of that, I want to start talking about some things to do with the Cardinals. And by the way, a player that used to be a Cardinal who is no longer a Cardinal. We'll get to those two things coming up next here on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, so let's continue. We've got a lot going on in terms of kind of setting the stage for, well, let's be honest, for a couple of months of relative quietude. It's not official yet. It won't be official for another 5 hours or so, a little bit more than 5 hours, 5 hours and 20 minutes or so. 4 hours and 20 minutes. I keep thinking of the midnight Eastern when the CBA expires. So obviously 11 p.m. Central Time. And everybody expects the lockout to come into play tonight. And, again, no big surprise. It's procedural. It's the way that this was always going to go. And, again, I'm already reading coverage from people that have been covering the labor thing forever that there's already been movement between the two sides on some of the key financial issues. Now, it doesn't mean they're close or it's going to get done. But, look, it's going to be 2 months of, what I talked about in the last segment. Just, again, try to move past that. But for all of us, it doesn't mean that we have to stop looking ahead to 2022. Now, you won't have free agency to talk about. There will be trade talks happening, but I don't know how much of it's going to be made public since teams can't do anything. They'll just be able to talk to each other about concepts and ideas. I'll be curious to see. I wonder if having 2 months to really do nothing, and I'm talking about from the baseball operations side of things, to really do nothing in terms of transactions other than talk trades, I wonder if that's going to lead to some trades at the end of the lockout. But regardless of that, I want to get to a couple things here. One, the Cardinals lost a reliever that they had in 2021 today. Luis Garcia agreed to a contract with the Padres. So he got 2 years and $7 million. And that's a guy you got to replace, man. I mean, Garcia was a big part of the bullpen turnaround in the last couple of months of the regular season. He got a lot of big outs. He was a major stabilizing force in the bullpen. And I think it's very clear that they will need to replace him in some way, shape, or form. Now, the good news is there are a lot of relievers out there, and there are a lot of good ones. And, you know, while Garcia was awesome for 2 months for the Cardinals, I think it's important for anybody that's maybe a little nervous about his departure to realize he's 35. You know, he was 35 years old pitching in AAA for the Yankees before the Cardinals ended up getting him. So this wasn't ever a long-term piece. So I guess my point there is it's like there's nothing to freak out about. I mean, you know, he had two amazing months, but really at 35, he had never had that before. Now, the Cardinals did make a smart change with him. I mean, they emphasized that two-seamer, that, you know, 98, 99-mile-an-hour two-seamer, and that seemed to be better. Apparently, with the Yankees, he was throwing more of a four-seamer, and he wasn't having as much success with it. So either way, you know, I think we would all agree that they would have liked to have him back. We would have liked to have him back, just looking at the contribution he made. But you can replace him. And he's getting 2 years, I think, at $7 million from the Padres, which is a lot. I mean, 2 years is a lot for a 35-year-old. Now, he may not have some of the wear and tear that others did, but still, he's been pitching in the minor leagues. It's not like he hasn't been pitching at all. But that happened tonight, and of course, we'll talk about those free agent options and all that. But we also have time here to focus on some of the internal candidates that can help the team. Now, I want to be extremely clear when I'm talking about this. I'm not trying to say that these should be the solutions for the Cardinals' openings at the moment. I'm not saying they shouldn't add more in free agency. I've been very clear. They should. I think a left-handed bat who could maybe be a DH would be a great idea. That way you can let some of your guys that are close arrive when they should rather than maybe because you need them to. Now, again, I'm intrigued by Lars Nootbaar. Just not enough to commit a regular spot to him. You know, it's more of a still, hey, we got to see some more before we're going to start thinking about, well, that guy could be our everyday DH. Like, no, it's a little bit ahead of the game right now. But I do want to talk about internal candidates that are available because, you know, with the team moving on from Jose Rondon, with Garcia leaving, you know, with some of the other things, you know, the DH potentially coming in there. Let's talk about a couple. And I want to talk about a couple of guys that haven't gotten as much love as Nolan Gorman and, of course, you know, Matthew Liberatore and Juan Yepes. You know, those are guys that got a lot of headlines, right? Especially Yepes, who had a huge year at AA and AAA and then a huge Arizona Fall League. But let's talk a bit about some of these other guys that could be factors. Because, you know, this season, and I talked about this with Gary LaRocque a couple weeks ago, this season, 2021, the Cardinals had a lot of young players playing maybe a level above where they probably would have been in previous years. Well, that's probably going to balance out a little bit this year because a lot of them settled in and some guys took steps. Let's take a look at some potential internal answers for 2022 as either fill-ins or maybe guys that could go blow you away in the spring and win a job. We'll get to that next on KMOX. All right, coming up on the end of this first hour, we got some more, probably a little bit of baseball trickling over into the next hour, and some Blues talk. What a good win for the Blues last night. I want to talk a bit about that, and whether that win, the way it happened, might be a turning point. I know I hate doing those turning point things, but I just felt that way after the game. I'm like, that feels like a game that could be a pivot. Not necessarily like, okay, and from that point on, we're going to win the Stanley Cup. Just that, you know, we might see a little bit better. Because they showed a lot in that game last night. I'll get to that a little bit next hour as well. I want to start the conversation here. We don't have a time to probably to finish it. I might let this bleed over into the top of the next hour. But, you know, with a lot of time on our hands, what I'm going to be today is kind of like I'm setting the table on this topic. Later on as we go, we're going to get a little deeper into these internal options that we might look to for some help in 2022. We've talked a lot about Nolan Gorman. I don't think there's much left to say about, you know, what I think of him. I think he's a legitimate major league bat who's going to hit 25, 30 bombs. And it sounds like, based on the words of Jose Oquendo and a few other people that know, that he's going to be just fine defensively at second base. And with the DH coming in, they've got room for all the guys that they want to get in there. But we don't know when he's going to be ready. Same thing with Matthew Liberatore, right? I mean, again, this is an elite prospect. You can count on him for some kind of performance, I would think, in 2022 for the Cardinals. He'd be one of the guys that you probably don't expect to see early, but maybe as the season goes along. I mean, he's 22 now. He'll, you know, if he doesn't end up breaking with the team, which I would doubt given the status of the rotation, he'll be in his second year at AAA, which means he's obviously ready to help out. You know, guys like Jordan Walker, Mason Winn, Josh Baez, these recent draft picks, they're a little too far away. But there are some others that could really impact the team at some point in some way as we go. Now, of course, Juan Yepes is the first on that list. Had a monster season at AA and AAA. And keep in mind, at AAA, Yepes played mostly first, but he also played some third base and some corner outfield. So that sounds like a player that you're prepping for kind of a bench role, at least initially, right? I mean, he's 23. I don't think you're looking at him forever as a bench guy. And when you look at his numbers this season, it doesn't scream bench guy, does it? When you look at 367 at-bats and 27 home runs, I mean, you give that guy 500 at-bats, that's like 35, 38 home runs. I mean, it wasn't fluky in any way, and it came with a pretty good walk total and a pretty good on-base percentage, 383 on base. And then he backed all of that up by going to the Arizona Fall League and essentially being one of the top two or three hitters there, despite being surrounded by the best prospects in Major League Baseball. So I think he's very close to helping, and he might even be a guy that could crack the opening day roster. You know, that's a right-handed bat with power that can move around the diamond a little bit and might even also be part of the solution as a designated hitter. So we definitely want to keep our eye on him. Another one that, again, really hasn't gotten a lot of attention, but could this year and might even be a guy that you could see help out in the bullpen is a rising Cardinals prospect, Andre Pallant. His numbers at AAA don't blow you away. His numbers in the minor leagues, he was a 381 ERA this year. Doesn't have great command. He does still walk some people, but he throws 100 miles an hour. And he had some really legitimate success in the Arizona Fall League as well. I mean, you talk about a 23-year-old right-hander who most of the year was at AA, got a little cup of coffee at AAA at the end. But a 23-year-old guy that throws 100 miles an hour could easily be a call-up at some point during the year to help you out in the bullpen. And we'll be tracking his production and his performance in spring training with, I think, with at least from my perspective, some really particular attention. Angel Rondon, the 24-year-old right-hander, we saw a little bit of him this year. He threw two innings for the Cardinals, and I mean, not enough for us to really get a feel for it. He's a guy who, again, wasn't amazing in 2021, 4.58 ERA, but he's a very talented guy, and that was as a starter. So if he works in the pen, his stuff might play up a little bit. He's a guy to keep an eye on. I've got a couple others that I want to throw in there that are interesting to me. One of them is left-hander Zach Thompson, who did not have a good year in AAA, but did perform well in the Arizona Fall League and has great stuff. And maybe isn't going to help as a starter, but maybe he ends up helping as a left-hander in the pen with a big-time fastball. And there's another position player who I think we should pay some attention to in light of the departure of Jose Rondon. That's a young man by the name of Brendan Donovan. He's not a huge prospect. He's number 17 in the Cardinal system, but there's some reason to like Brendan Donovan. I want to get into that coming up next here on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.